The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
This episode of More Stories brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. Rad, R-A-D, Power Bikes, just like it sounds. RadPowerBike.com. The promo code is J, $75 back in your pocket off of accessories if you purchase any electric bike. Now, you may say to yourself, why do I need an electric bike? 750 watts. We are through the looking glass here, people. That's a lot of wattage. Go around your house. Look at the light bulbs. 750 watts of power. 20 miles an hour. No pedaling. You just sit there and boss your way around town. Currently, let me tell you this. They are currently offering free shipping, radpowerbike.com, promo code J, on all electric bikes to the lower 48 states. Shipping was $175. Not for you, my Morrier. Not for you. Go 40 miles on a single charge. RadPowerBike.com, promo code J.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, pothead.
Look at the game change.
If you want to battle with either that you will or
you won't. You know, you're not a bad-looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
No, I thought you said that you are right, Spider.
Hey, man!
Closer and closer and bolder and
bolder. Until one day, the lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody. Eats everything in his
back. Eats everything in his back.
Once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
That's the best.
It is.
The lion has to show the jackals.
It's time to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to kill.
Hmm?
I'm going to the other room.
Hmm?
You come out when you're ready.
That's feel great.
I want that to play on a wall every day when I wake up.
Yeah,
it's too late to be scared.
It's too late to be scared.
It's time to kill. I never saw that movie. It's Pool Hall Millionaire.
Yeah, Pool Hall Millionaire.
Chaz Palminteri is in it, and he's like Rod Steiger and on the waterfront. I'll tell you one thing. We're going to play pool, see? And Walken just comes in. He's like fucking Perry Como smooth. Comparatively. You never saw that?
No. Never saw the movie. No.
I never saw that movie or that clip. I have no idea who that kid is. Never seen him since. No. I'd like to be on the other side of that speech to just...
Yeah.
I think this. Kevin Farley, the guest on More Stories. Rolling start because it was fun and natural and I don't want to be morning DJ guy. Kevin Farley is joining me.
We got
November 29th, Levity Live, Oxnard, California, strawberry capital of the world. Is that correct, that's Kevin? True. How about these Hooters girls' boobs? They're hot. Intern Snuffy gonna eat vomit out of the trash can. See how
the morning DJ guy.
Sweet Emotion, Aerosmith, Kevin Farley, drawing a 5'4" 225. I never saw that before, and I just came across it like a month and a half ago. You've been around Mr. Walken.
I've met him. I met him on the set of Joe Dirt 2, and nice
guy. Not as good as the book.
No. No, you're right. You're right. No, I got an opportunity to meet him. And when you meet him, you're like, wow, holy shit.
He's exactly as out there as advertised.
No kidding. No kidding. He's, I guess, never been married. Or he's been married, you know, but he doesn't have any kids or anything like that, but... Yeah, he's just, I guess.
You know, on the set of Suicide Kings, I go, are you married? He goes, yeah. I go, what's your wife do? He goes, who, bitch? She's a casting director. She's a horrible woman. That's what he said to me. But she's Georgianne Walken. She cast The Sopranos.
I didn't know that. She's a really big casting director.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, she. Holy I guess shit. That was prior to, that was obviously prior to, like, The Sopranos. He goes, she told that boy from Primal Fear. I go, Ed Norton. He goes, Ed Norton. Yeah, him. She told him, get out of the business.
No
She's
way.
She's a terrible woman.
Terrible
and he kept naming like two other actors or actresses that he goes,
no way.
Danny, she told, and I forget who it was, you get out of the business. Terrible.
No way.
I swear. And then, same breath,
that's
they're
great.
Like, okay, we're rolling. Jay, who's the lady that plays the nanny? I'm like,
Like, Fran Drescher?
Yeah.
I would like to bang her.
No way.
Action. It's like, now I got to talk.
Holy shit.
Hey, here's my super serious dialogue. Who's the lady that plays the nanny?
I'd like to bang her.
Levity Live, November 29th. Kevin Farley. Have you been to that club?
I did it when I opened for Spade. I've never done it headlining, so I'm a little nervous about that. I don't know if you guys got to go out and because it's a big room.
Finish what you just. You guys got to go out. You're right.
You guys got to go out and support me.
That's correct.
Because it's a bigger room. It's like 500 seats, right?
It is bigger. I'm not sure the exact. Up around it.
I'm not going to be able to fill that, Jay.
I couldn't, so who cares?
Oh, my God.
I don't think they're going like Kevin Farley's going to be hit November 29th. No. We're going to be wall to wall. After that, it's Dionne Warwick. Dionne Warwick, Tony Bennett, Chaka Khan, and Rufus reuniting right here. Wall to wall month of November, friends.
Listen, I'm honored to be at that club because it's such a huge club, and that's a headlining gig, a big headlining gig for me.
You're a headliner. Let's just get this to bed.
I've been doing it for a year and a half. I've been headlining.
Since the last time you were on this podcast, I told you then, so I guess that was about a year and a half ago, you're a headliner, and you're one of the few comics that when your name comes up, I have a joke always that I'm like, how about his line, why are ghosts always old-timey?
Right.
From the 1800s, 1700s. Yeah. It's never like a guy at the end of the hall holding an iPad going, hey, I'm Pete. Do you have a charger?
Right.
Or whatever it is. Right. It's such a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Conceptually. Thor's wearing night stocking caps.
Hey, I just got hit by a train. I got an iPad in my hand. There's no ghost. There's no real new ghost. It's just like
I died like an hour ago.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Nah. You know, I felt weird stuff, but I've never seen an actual ghost.
That's a ghost fucking generator floating by the apartment.
You got some construction going on out there, kid.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to make a lot of money. These guys, you know, if I didn't have to pay them time and a half. down in Playa Vista where Google campus is going to be built here.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they put the apartments up first. They're geniuses. So you pay rent, and then when they build the Google campus and the executives need apartments, because it's nice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
They'll be like, we quadrupled your rent. Well, fuck you, goodbye.
Oh, and they'll let the Google guys gonna like,
buy it, I guess. Yeah, because these were all set up, right? My son's school is like a par 5 down that road right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's nice down here.
It is really nice. Beautiful. November 29th, Levity Live in Oxnard. It is a big one, but I suggest if you drive there, it is astoundingly relaxing.
Because you just drive.
Yeah, it's up like the coast. Hour. And get that the ocean to your left, migrant workers picking strawberries to your right, just the dichotomy of life.
It's like an hour long, yeah. It is nice up there, though. It's pretty. I've been up there a couple times. They have a nice green room. It goes right off the parking lot, which is nice. You can come in and out of there.
Yeah, the food's crazy good. That's the new thing I've noticed with comedy clubs, Kevin Farley on Twitter. It's Kevin Farley.
I'm Kevin Farley.
Straight up.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Farley.
It's I'm Kevin Farley. I don't know why I did
is.
That.
Okay.
But yeah, it's I'm Kevin Farley on Twitter. Yeah.
Well, lately, like comedy clubs, a couple improvs, like the West Hollywood Improv, Levity Live, same owners, I believe. It's just like the food. Like, do you want our cheese curds dipped in cilantro? And you're like, yes. It's nuts. The food is so good.
It's good. Yeah. That place has got great food up there in Oxnard. Yeah.
Moriers, go see Kevin Farley. I put my name on it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this. If you're going to buy a car, even if you want a pre-owned car, TrueCar.com, that's where you want to go. True Car users like myself, Kevin Farley, save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Now, am I holding any papers in my hand right now?
No, you are not.
I know exactly what to say about True Car because I believe in True Car.
Yeah, kidding. You don't even need the thing.
I don't need it at all.
You don't need it.
Look, you can register for True Car. It's a True Car pricing curve.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool, and it'll show you what other people paid in your area for the vehicle you want, and you don't ever have to go over that number. Save time, save money, guaranteed savings. Lock it in, friends. True Car. If I could buy more than one vehicle, I'd be on it all the time, but you know, it's kind of a big lifetime purchase.
It is a big deal.
A big ass. I have a Range Rover and I called it my truck, and Adam Carolla goes, I love that you call that a truck.
It's a Range Rover.
It's I go, well,
most
all right.
Expensive truck there is.
All right, 18 wheeler. Fine. He's got a fucking air horn and he's got those weird like triangles to let you know if something's flammable as you drive past. If you were not a comic, Kevin Farley, what do you, because you're a great comic, man. I love watching you. And if anybody wants to go on like YouTube and just dig up Kevin Farley doing stand up, you'll enjoy it.
Thanks.
What do you think you'd do? What would you want to do for a living if you were not a stand-up comic?
Oh, God. I think teach history. I love history. And nice. I would probably be a teacher of history. Or, yeah, that's about it. I don't know.
American,
maybe
world,
a teacher of
European.
A, yeah.
The fact that you said teacher speaks
volumes.
Or a
volumes. Football coach.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a high school football coach.
Football, you know, if you coach, you got to teach usually.
Yeah, I would be a history teacher and a high school football coach if I didn't do stand-up.
That should be the script you write.
Yeah.
The cool history teacher.
I always liked Hoosiers. Remember Hoosiers, that movie Hoosiers? Yeah. Wasn't he a history teacher,
10
too?
10 feet, gentlemen, just like our gym. Yeah. When he measures the rim with the tape it's measure. The
greatest.
Your Twitter, I'm Kevin Farley. I noticed the last two tweets. We're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon in beautiful Playa Vista, California.
Beautiful Playa Vista.
Two retweets of NASA, which is a great follow. And it's like Neil Armstrong's photo of the moon.
Yeah.
And it's the string of pearls.
Oh, boy.
Around. Is it Jupiter? No.
Yeah. I follow NASA on Twitter.
It's a great follow.
If you follow on, they come up with like the most crazy pictures. And that one that I retweeted was, I don't know, was that Jupiter? I think it was Jupiter.
I don't know, man. I'm asking you.
It was Jupiter. I think it was the moon, one of the moons of Jupiter. It had such a crazy, cool photo of it.
And somebody jizzed all over its neck and made a string of pearls. Why do you got to make it like that, JJ? Why can't you just let Kevin Farley and his fucking, I'm not sure what planet or moon of this planet thing exist on its own?
Do you follow NASA?
I'm going to do it right this
moment.
You
should follow NASA.
How about you don't tell me what I should do?
Okay.
How about that, history man?
You should.
What kind of history would you
It's teach? Fun. I would teach Civil War history because I'm a freak about that. I just went to...
You were on the side of the South, I believe.
Oh, Jay. No, stop it. Now, listen. Everybody's ripping down these statues, which is kind of strange. But I think that I was just at Fredericksburg, which is a battlefield down in Virginia. And I toured the battlefield for a little bit. Took some pictures, put it on my Facebook. And it was really interesting. There's a lot of, it's just a crazy battle. Like 20,000 guys died in one afternoon, or a couple days, actually.
It's the most deaths in war, United States war history. It's almost like a trick question. You go like, what war did the most Americans die in? Most people say World War II.
Yeah.
But when it's Americans versus Americans, I think it's what, half mil?
Yep, 600,000. Yeah.
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 And you were on the battlefield. Because I asked you earlier if you'd ever seen a ghost. You said you felt stuff. I would think the battlefield, if you go through Appomattox or like especially Fredericksburg, it's got to be, maybe it's just our own creepiness, realizing what took place. There's a stillness there, right?
I think when you go, like I've gone places, if you step on a place that's had a massacre to it, like that was.
Who, and who hasn't?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go to anywhere like that, you do get a creepy feeling of like, wait a minute. And you read like 20,000 guys died at this in this little 100-yard area, you know. Or, you know, like a football field area of like 20,000 guys. It's hard to really picture that. And then you're walking up these nice fields in this Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's beautiful now. But you're just going, my God, that must have been just awful. And the blood must have been everywhere. And it was...
Probably really... This is going to sound morbid.
Yeah.
But that's probably great soil. And it is morbid. But like, if you think of morbid. What's in your blood, and really the amount of blood in that soil, you're like, you know what? Yeah. Let's put some corn down quickly. then move it over. With respect to those that have fallen, the dearly departed.
And a lot of them, what's weird is they had unmarked graves. They just buried these guys. And they didn't even know who they were. You know,
a lot of those guys,
like,
as you know, were like 15-year-olds that just joined at the last second to get into a skirmish line.
Yeah.
Was it Gods and Generals, I think, was the book, where it's only four generals, and Lee's one of them. And when that guy, I'm not going to get political at all, but I'm going to tell you this, every listener, when that guy in the Trump administration, Kelly, said something like, Lee, the Civil War was about not compromising, he was right. It was about slavery historically,
but
the fact that Abraham Lincoln asked General Lee to go fight Virginians, General Lee would not compromise. To say he was an honorable man, he was a fucking horrible, vicious slave owner.
Yeah.
That's when it's like that one extra sentence that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
But the compromise was go take the Virginians, put your rifle on them. And he said, I will not raise my rifle to Virginians. Because back then, the states were way more important. Mm-hmm. than the overall.
Yeah, we weren't a country yet. Yeah,
we were. Yeah, we were. It was all about states making up the bigger quilt, the fab, the giant thing. Like,
but the federal government wasn't that big.
And Lincoln changed that, and he was a centrist. But Lee would not come. He wouldn't raise his rifle to a Virginian. Yeah. Like his, like you're, like the president tells you, I need you to take a gun and put it in your name. Well, everybody will go, sure.
Yeah.
I hate my neighbor. But it was like a big deal. But people don't realize that. These guys were like faced with this impossible thing. Like, fuck.
I'm not going to do that. Right. To my fellow statesmen. No. And that's why it's such an interesting war. I can't read enough about it just because of all that stuff that was going on. Then you mix the whole slavery issue on top of that. And you're like, wow, that must have been insanity in that time. We always think like, oh, today is so crazy. Trump is nuts and all that stuff. You can't compare to the Civil War. We weren't even a country. We were not going to be a country. We were like, that was going to be the South and the North, and we weren't even going to have the United States of America. And that's what was at stake. It was just such high stakes, such crazy high stakes.
Yeah.
That we couldn't even fathom that right now.
It's so strange. One of the generals, I don't want to talk about it because I don't know. I didn't retain enough of the knowledge because it's such a broad, giant canvas.
Yeah, it is.
But one of the generals was from Maine. And it's just the strangest thing. He's in the fucking snow, like running like a National Guard up there. And he goes, sure. Like, I'll come down and handle shit.
Yeah.
And Jackson was one of the generals in the book. It was four generals. Jackson, Lee, I forget the other two guys.
Stonewall Jackson.
And you know, he got his nickname was, like George Washington, he was always at the front with his guys, and he never got shot until he got shot.
Until he
shot,
by shot one of his guys.
And one of the other generals goes, get behind the Virginian. He stands like a stone wall.
Yeah.
So that's how he got his nickname.
That's how he got his name, yeah.
The Native Americans thought George Washington was a fucking ghost. Because he's like 6'2", and back then that was like being 7 foot now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was on his horse in his big white wig, and like nobody could ding the guy with a fucking bullet. And he was just hanging out like, all right, one of you guys go over there a little bit.
Yeah.
And he just didn't get winged ever. So a lot of the natives switched sides.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to fight Phantasma.
Yeah. And I think that the way the battles formed, too, was it was quiet. The armies would march up. And you would just think it was just kind of pretty because you'd see all these guys just lined up. And then all of a sudden, it would erupt.
They were idiots.
Into just massacre. And you'd be like, wait a minute. What was kind of a pretty sight of, like, these uniformed men all of a sudden turns into this giant massacre, bloody heads falling off.
Imagine a parade, when they go.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Here come the Korean War veterans. And they're all in a line marching. And they're in formations. Like, and then they go to an intersection where there's another group of Korean War veterans. They stand there for 2.5 days.
And fire
and
at
then
each
finally,
other.
Boom, at the exact same time. Right. Cannons just fucking. You're like, you guys should probably be farther apart.
I know.
It's awful.
See, that's what was going on in the Civil
War.
That's
that British fop, like faggoty, like, we have honor.
Honor.
Let's stand and have a duel. I used to do a bit about it. Like, English people hate Americans. If you go to England, well, I haven't done this in 20 years.
Yeah.
Tell them you're Canadian, because nobody really gives a shit about the Canadians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just kind of there.
Yeah,
they're dormant. Like, and but if you tell them you're English, they're mad. They'll be rude, because they're still mad they lost the Revolutionary War. And they should be, because there was like 11 of us.
Yeah.
11 stone hemped out farmers with Indians hanging out behind rocks going, hey, they're all in a straight line. Is that fair? am I gay because I'm like hiding? I just don't want to get killed.
I know.
Can I shoot the guy with the drum?
Yeah.
They had a band.
I know.
How were they undefeated?
Flute, flute, flute. They had a band while they were going into battle.
It's like, I think I hear somebody coming.
I know.
They had a fucking band. Go look at your Revolutionary War plates. There's a guy with a band, a guy with a flute, and a guy with a massive head wound just holding a flag because he forgot how to play his fucking violin or something. He's just like holding a flag like, I'll help. I don't know. We should get those bands back together. Let's figure out a way to reunite Revolutionary War bands. They weren't exactly playing in a Gata de Vida.
And anybody in the Civil War, if you were a flag bearer, it was a very honorable position. So a lot of people wanted to carry the flag, but you were 99% chance of getting shot because everybody would just take out the flag. You could see the flag. So
he's holding that flag on a post.
The guy holding the flag.
And you know what's not in his hands? A rifle.
Yeah. He didn't have
musket.
Yeah, he didn't have a rifle. So
the guy
that
with the
guy
drums
got
has two drumsticks.
Every time the guy got killed, every time he took out the flag. And then, but people still, the weird thing is people still wanted to bury the flag or carry the flag. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of those like guys hiding in bushes, fucking.
Oh my god, I would be such a coward in the Civil War.
Which means you might survive.
Yeah,
I'll be the guy that eventually shot Lee in his fucking leg, pulled him off his horse at night in the woods.
My dad had an old letter from, I guess, my great grandpa.
You were going to say Lee?
No, you could pay a guy to fight for you back then. You know, if you had money back then, you could
pussies.
Yeah, you could pay a guy. Yeah, my grandpa was like, well, he had a business or something like that, so he got.
Oh, I didn't know your grandpa. I'm sorry. Yeah, well. I just met back then. No. I didn't know your grandpa was one of the guys that did
no,
it.
No, he did it. Yeah, he paid a guy.
Oh my gosh, except
he,
for him.
And he would write back going, we had a couple of battles today, sir. You know, okay, if I could have another 500, that'd be great, you know. But you could pay a dude to go, if you got drafted or something like that, you'd be like, hey, I'll pay you 500 if you go take my position on there.
And that was done with like honor. It wasn't like, hey, what's with the old Farley guy?
Right, he's not.
They're like, well, he has yielded his battle time to the young man from Norfolk.
And the guy would wrote back, my grandpa, and he saved the notes. But he'd talk about the battles that he was in.
And he'd report this letter?
Yeah.
Do you realize that could be in the history museum forever?
I know. My mom still has it in his archives.
Your Twitter feed and this NASA photo, they don't really specify. It just says one of eight massive rotating storms that appear as white ovals, christened the String of Pearls, was recently, a little wordy NASA, captured in the stunning at NASA Juno spacecraft images, and then it's gov. But it doesn't really say what it is, so I apologize. I didn't. Oh, see, okay, it's Jupiter.
It right. is Jupiter.
Wow, okay. That's beautiful, man.
Isn't that a great picture?
There's a great. My favorite app is How Many People Are in Space.
Oh yeah.
How many people would you say right now are in space?
I don't know. Maybe five or six because of that station, right?
Six. Yeah,
six
you're right.
People, right.
Most people are like 100 or like 40.
100.
And that's my go-to. Like, there's got to every country. It's literally like two Americans, two Russians, a Japanese guy, and a Canadian or something.
Mm.
It's a great app. And you can tweet them.
And
just
you
go,
can?
Who is there?
They got to be bored up there.
I think so. Or maybe they have a lot of tasks.
Yeah, like computer stuff to do.
Did you ever read Packing for Mars by Mary Roach?
No.
You'd love it because it goes through like the how you get into space. Like you have to make paper swans, like origami. You have to make 1,000 of them. There's like 100 people in a room and your task is all day. You just make 1,000 paper swans.
Mm.
And then they come in at the end or halfway through or an hour in and they take your first swan and like your 40th and your 900th, and they just hold them up, and they're either identical, that's the guy I want, or like 900, just like, fuck it, it's close enough, my hands hurt.
Yeah, so they want you to be that consistent and that be able to,
you gotta just chill, it's mundane up there.
Oh, man.
And the number one thing that keeps people out of space, other than having a cold, is bad breath.
What?
Because you're that close, and you can't be talking to somebody in a fucking tube for a month, because you'll make the other people go insane.
Because you got such stinky, bad breath. Yeah.
Stinky breath.
I'm out. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's play More space. Stories Fancy. It's been a long time since we've had More Stories Fancy. Kevin Farley, are you prepared? You have no idea what it is, and I like it. We don't want any control.
This is my third time on More Stories.
This is now More Stories Fancy. You must speak as I speak, as if you are from the Commonwealth of England.
Yes, very good then.
If you could master one instrument.
Yes.
What would it be, Kevin Farley?
I would love to master the skin flute. No, it's
the skin flute, like a homosexual.
Yes, yes.
Yes. And there's a discernible ending to when you finish your song. What mastered instrument would you like to have?
I would like to master the piano.
Piano.
Right.
Very nice.
Yes, the piano would be quite nice. Quite interesting to strike up a song in the party or something like that, you know.
Is it
impress a woman?
Yes, yes. Do you believe in the conspiracy that there are more than 88 keys and there are hidden keys in the piano?
Oh, no.
I don't like that. I don't want any controversy.
I don't know.
Kevin Farley.
Yes.
If you had the means, how would you address the problem of home? No, it's too serious.
It's too serious.
All right, Kevin Farley.
Too serious, sir.
Too serious. In what era would you most like to have grown up?
Well.
More Stories Fancy.
1920s. The Roaring 20s, if you will.
Oh, the 1920s. Yes. Would you have
been a
flapper?
They had cocaine in Coca-Cola.
Cocaine in Coca-Cola. Opium was legal.
Legal.
You could legally smoke opium. As you had Coca-Cola with cocaine inside of it.
Right.
and maybe a bit of a prostitute or two, or yes, five, and have penicillin and die for lack of thereof.
Yes. I think, but nonetheless, the parties were good.
I think the parties were excellent in the roaring 20s.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I might go 1420s and have a nice castle and die of syphilis at 29, a very old man.
Yes, very old. But honorable. Yes.
Let's do one more Moore Stories, fans.
Right. Very good.
What obligation do you believe you have to your country?
I have the obligation to be myself.
I think that's beautiful. Dutiful. Really dutiful.
I have the obligation to be a good citizen of this country and be myself. Pursue my happiness.
What was that now?
Pursue my own happiness.
And if you are playing piano while high on opium...
Yes.
About to die of syphilis in the roaring 20s.
Yes.
That would indeed be your best self.
That's exactly right. And I am contributing to the patchwork that is the United States of America. The quilt, if you will.
Thank you for playing More Stories Fancy.
Yes, indeed.
It's a delightful game that I spring on very few guests.
Yes.
Of the More Stories podcast. I'm honored.
Very honored.
All right.
That was More Stories Fancy. With those two fat.
Nice.
Eat your wigs, guys.
Sorry. Sorry.
I like this guy. He's fun.
Look at his fucking eye.
He's hilarious.
What? His hair's like tied up on the nose.
I know.
Hey, buddy.
Leave it alone.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, forget it. We're sorry, buddy. Relax.
Yeah.
Best way you can help this podcast, the More Stories podcast, is by going to jmoore.com and clicking where it says Amazon. Whatever you buy at Amazon, they actually pay me money. That's right. It's highway robbery. And all that money goes to my son's college education. He's 6 years old, so maybe he gets an entirely free ride because of you guys like Jeffrey D. Calhoun. Look at this one. JJ, I used the Amazon banner. I went to jmoore.com as instructed. In fact, parentheses, I think the parentheses should come before in fact, but whatever. Jeffrey D. Calhoun. In fact, parentheses, I've replaced Amazon, quotes, with jmoore.com, quotes, on my toolbar. I suggest other people do the same. I bought two copies of your book, Gasping for Airtime, The Chris Farley Wrestling Story. Is one of the greatest things I've ever read that's been written. Thank you very much for putting it down on paper for history's sake. Jeffrey D. Calhoun, I put my name on it. Thank you. You never ended this parenthesis, so let me know when I'm off the hook here. Amazon at jmoore.com. Please help me help you. Hello Fresh blew my mind, and that is Teresa, who watches my son. We have a nanny, Teresa, St. Teresa. There's three of them now because she's one for sure. Mm-hmm. I come home, and all the Hello Fresh things were made in the fridge, ready to go, and it was bonkers amazing. And I asked her, it was really great, and I asked her because the talking points on like the ads back in the day, again, I'm not reading these ads. Is that good? I won't promote anything that I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. The food was so good. And then one of the talking points was, in 30 minutes or less, I go, did it take you a half hour? She goes, no, not even. And it was like four different entrees were in there. Like it was chicken with balsamic vinaigrette. There was green beans with squash. There was some, like, what was the last time you had like sweet potatoes mixed into something?
No.
It was one of those things where, like, as you're eating, you're like, oh, yeah, I only had this at Thanksgiving. It's fantastic, though.
Wow.
And there was a great steak and pasta. There was a four cheese ravioli that she made, and it was just lights out. Well, here's the deal. If you want to do HelloFresh, which you should, it's a meal kit delivery service. You want to go to their website, use the promo code MOHR, M-O-H-R, 30. $30 off. Your first week of HelloFresh. HelloFresh.com. Enter MOHR 30, and I got you the hookup. $30 back into your pocket. So some guy wants to go to HelloFresh. He has to pay $30 more because he's not a Mohrier listening to this podcast. MOHR 30 is the promo code. HelloFresh.com. Enter MOHR 30. Delightful, delicious as. Kevin Farley, what was your favorite toy you had as a kid? And
Big
it could
Will.
Be, you know, something completely tiny, like a blanket or a doll. It could be something big. You saw my mongoose bike in the garage. Pete Turner just put it together for me.
I like a Big Wheel. Remember the Big Wheel?
No, what is it?
Oh, you don't remember the Big Wheel?
No, what's a Big Wheel?
Oh, it was like this little cart that had a giant wheel in the front, obviously Big Wheel, hence the Big Wheel, and then two pedals on each side of the wheel, and you sat kind of like prone almost.
So it was a tricycle.
On your back.
It was a tricycle?
Yeah, but you're low to the ground.
Made out of metal? Seems dangerous.
No, it was plastic.
plastic tricycle.
Yeah, well, no, it's sort of like a tricycle, yeah. But you were low. You were low on the ground.
How big
you're
was
like
the
laying
wheel that
down.
Was it like 5 feet tall?
No.
An old timey bicycle?
No. It was a giant. It
I
was
know what
just
the
bigger.
Fuck a big wheel is. Jesus.
Oh,
what
you
do? Guys,
do?
You and Corey were like, yeah.
I didn't know you knew. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why don't you know the big wheel?
I was Green Machine. That's why.
Oh,
remember
the
that
green
fucking
machine
thing?
Was the competition. That's right.
It never. It was like the
never
Pepsi.
Never really took off.
No, it was like the Pepsi really to off. Coke, and it was that's way right. cooler.
And you had a Green Machine? What a loser!
Fuck that! I got to go to the bottom
what
of the dead
a loser.
End.
What a loser! You had a Green Machine.
You. How about this? You are. Green Machines were great because you do like 180s. You just rip the
oh, then two. It had a brake. Is that was the
it
thing?
It had two handles. No, you're right. It was a brake. The back wheels, it was also three wheels, I believe. But yeah. The back wheels was what steered, not the front, like on the big wheel. And the one handle just locked one wheel.
Yeah.
Immediate, just no
so
depth,
you did
no.
a burnout.
And it just did a complete 180, and that's why you it. Got a Green Machine. But neither it. One of them would stop pedaling. Like, if you went downhill, and my son's bike is like this, if you lift your feet up, the pedals keep going.
Oh, scary.
And that is death.
That's scary.
Yeah, I need
no,
that.
You don't want to dig. I've fallen off bicycles. Oh, my God.
Why?
Just as a kid, I hit a mailbox one time. It was awful.
Tell, you know, walk us through down. This. What happened here?
Where just they had this material. Huge hill when we were growing up, and I was going to the pool or something like that, and I just went to the side, and then it was one of those mailboxes that stuck out a little bit, you know, and I clipped it going right down. Yeah,
the little red flag you put up, like, now there's mail that needs to go out.
Yeah,
like, I can't figure out this system, and I'm 47 years old, like, oh, yeah. When do I put this up?
Did you ever
put mail in your mailbox? The mailman will take. I don't trust that shit.
No, they don't do that anymore, do they?
Yes, they do.
The flag goes up and then take it?
I'm not sure the exact. Is it flag up, Corey? Fry 42? Flag up means flag up. I got, by the way, since you're, by the way, what a dick move.
Yeah.
To go like, thanks, mailman, making 30 G's that walks fucking 7 hours a day, gets up at 4 a.m. While you're at my mailbox, do me a favor, take this back to the post office with you and fucking file it, worker. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, worker, do the because I can't be bothered to walk to the end of my street and put it in a fucking mailbox. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
you gotta be a fucking shut-in to get that going.
What a great service.
Yes.
What a great service the post office is.
I'm
it's
gonna
unbelievable.
Say this. The most underappreciated service in the entire United States.
They tried to make a movie called The Postman. To try to celebrate the post office, you know,
Kevin Costner
was in it. Yeah.
Was that about the post office?
Yes, it was about. It was in a post-apocalyptic world where Kevin Costner starts to make a post office. You know, he's like, "Well, maybe we should rebuild this country, and then
I'll make a post office. Yes. I'm Kevin Costner. I'm incapable of emotion. We are through the looking glass, people." God, his range
so he starts to make a post office, and the movie just failed. But it was interesting to see because it pointed out the importance of the post office.
Yeah, I saw that movie. Dennis Miller here. It looks, turns out Kevin Costner has the range of a Daisy air rifle. You know, one thing you shouldn't have to worry about if you're making a movie about the post office is fucking wardrobe. Everybody was dressed like fucking Steven Tyler. Jeep, jeep, sassafras. Jimmy Tingle used to do a joke about that. He goes, you put a letter, you put it anywhere in the mail. Don't put it anywhere in the country for a quarter. Yeah. Back when stamps were like a quarter.
Yeah.
And I go, they raise the price of a stamp and people freak out. He goes, like, it's absurd how
it's
great
absurd.
It is.
Absurd. It's amazing. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And I wish at least I think the movie pointed out just how crazy the post office is. And just, you could mail a package.
You
could
say, hold on. Do you really think that message was received by anyone?
No. I don't think they care.
You know, Waterworld. I think the message really was that there's a patriarchal society. Yeah. We have to, and sometimes you have to yield to the mother moon.
How insulting is it, the term going postal, to people that are postal workers? It's like, wait, now I get a little upset, but I'm not going to hurt anybody. Now, stop saying that.
It is a synonymous.
You're going to go postal on me?
That means you're going to take a rifle to the post office where you used to work or currently work and gun people down. As opposed to, you know, I'm going to go fucking angry white guy movie theater. Now you can't even apply it. Hey, don't push your politics on me, pal.
Yeah.
No. It is unfortunate. Did you ever read Bukowski's post office?
No.
It's really neat. It was my first Bukowski I ever read. It's really easy to read.
It's called The Post Office?
It's just called Post Office. And he's just a fucking drunk, and he's got a shitty route. And he hates it. And he's just, it was my first Bukowski book, and I'm like, this guy, I get it.
Okay. I gotta read more of him. I've heard about him, but I haven't read him.
He's got a great poem that I believe he wrote for me called Bluebird. But a lot of it's like, then I took a shit, I had a beer, I went to the track, came home, took a shit, and then Betty's big ass, and I fell asleep. And you're like, all right. But then every once in a while, like Bluebird, you just, yikes, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Post Office, Ham on Rye. Those are the two, like, you kind of have to read if you're a fan of great fiction.
Yeah.
Or is it? Like, it's one of those things, like,
is this fiction or is it not?
And it's real easy. Like, the absence of words, they're real light reads.
Yeah.
And as a child, my first memory was hot white air. Like, it's such a simple sentence, but I would go, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, hit me between the eyes.
He knew how to use words.
His dad just kicking the shit out of him, and he was, like, covered in boils, and he was always, like, he just fought. He didn't give a shit. Like, he got this numbness that overwhelmed him.
Ooh.
And Ham on Rye. And the ending of Ham on Rye, I remember I cried. I think I was getting my period. But then when I read it now, I'm like, no, that's otherworldly beautiful.
Yeah, and it's funny. He drank every day, didn't he? Did he party?
I think he drank. You know, Mickey Rourke played him in Barfly.
Oh, that's so, what.
But he was doing Snagglepuss. To all my friends, hangs at stage right even.
Amen.
And if you ever hear Bukowski talk, he's got a really high voice. Like, don't listen to your authors read their own stuff on the internet.
Really?
It's like, when I first met, you're like, no, I need you to be cooler.
Oh, no.
There's a bluebird in my heart. Nobody knows he's there, but I do. And I drown him with booze and whores.
Oh,
and it's a little pack that we have. You're like, stop it.
There goes that. Yeah.
Unless it's Maya Angelou, who's the flight of the mind, huh?
Yeah. Right.
Well, somebody's at my door. Come on in, Petey. Pete Turner's here. You should do his podcast. It's called The Break It Down Show. He's a spy, for real.
A spy?
He's a fucking spy.
Well, you can't say that, right? When you say that. Isn't that make you instantly not a spy if you say it?
Or does it go through the looking glass? We are through the looking glass here, people. Yeah, Pete Turner says he's a spy. Clay Burchard is Clay Shaw.
How are you?
Petey, when you say you're a spy, does that automatically disqualify you from spydom?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Because but then if I know you're a spy, I'm not going to share any secrets with you if I'm from the other side, right?
Yeah.
Pete Turner, ladies and gentlemen.
Not if you're a really good spy. You're honest because they already assume you are. So you just start from that position, and you've already taken that barrier down.
How much of the info I've ever told you have you just gone and shared with Saudis?
All of it.
You mother. Kevin Farley, Pete Turner.
Pete, hey, pleasure to
Break It Down Show.
Yeah.
Kevin Farley's going to be at Levity Live in Oxnard, Pete, November 29th. It's a big room. He's a little nervous about it. And I'm saying to you... you're a comic, right?
Yes.
You do comedy.
I do comedy.
You're happy when you do comedy.
I love it.
So let's take the audience out of the equation.
All right.
And you're going to go on stage that night, and you're going to do comedy. So the room is the room, and that's that.
Irrelevant. There's a mic in a stand. Whatever's going to happen,
happens. Yogi Berra said, if people don't want to come, we can't stop them. And when I read that quote, right?
If people don't want to come, we can't stop
fucking
them.
Genius. Everybody thinks he's this fucking retarded special guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a fucking genius.
That's genius.
That was in a Buddhist quote book that I had, like Zen Buddhist quotes.
If people don't want to come, we can't stop them.
Like in all these great Sun Tzu and the Buddha.
Yeah.
In the middle of this tome is this Yogi Berra quote. I'm like, whoa.
That's the best if we can. People and don't want to come, we can't stop.
I swear to God, Kevin, that's when I stopped reading my ticket. I stopped reading ticket counts.
Yeah.
Because I'd get nuts.
Yeah.
I've done all the radio.
Yeah, you've done all the
things.
Like
if I'm here in town, I did Kevin and Bean. I did a phoner for, you know, ESPN LA, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're like, frick it.
And then when I walk on stage, it's either less or more than you thought. That's
it. Right, yeah.
But what I'm supposed to do doesn't change.
No.
The mission's the mission.
It's the same. You're right. And the more I get into that headspace, the more I'm crazy about it, right?
Well, maybe I'm happy you're here if I can just get it through your head, like, who gives a fuck? They're going to be there. And what day of the week is that? You don't know.
That's what I...
fucking Jupiter.
I think it's like Wednesday, 29.
You know what? You're a real ass. I wish we were from Chicago. You are a real ass.
You're a real ass. You know that?
It's a Wednesday. So they're not expecting a giant fucking Wednesday thing. Mm-hmm. It's a Wednesday, man. Relax.
Whoa. Yeah, that's what I mean. Whoa, hey. That's what I mean. I'm glad to be, you know, I've been doing stand-up for 5 years, so it's just kind of like, I'm glad to be up there.
Yeah, so let's stop being nervous about that shit. You're too funny. I can't have you. It would like when I'm coaching wrestling, I'm like, can we just stop thinking? Can you just shoot?
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I finally hit on it. I go, you ever see this kid Connor? I go, Connor, you ever see a duck land on a lake? When he goes, yeah. I go, what's it look like? And he goes, like, with your hands. And he goes, whoosh. I go, that's your shot.
Yeah.
It doesn't just drop to a knee.
No, yeah.
You got to
move in, yeah.
Just stop thinking. Just shoot through.
Just move in.
And that day, he was just shooting through. I'm like, oh, my God. I might be good at this thing.
You're good. Have you had a couple of meets?
No, not yet. We started officially last week, and then we did a summer thing where it was the wrestling club, Primal Wrestling Club. We're like, you could come by and wrestle, and like anybody from other cities and stuff could come in.
Yeah.
Because it was...
You're trying to find talent, right?
Yeah. And also you want guys... Yes. And you also want guys that your guy can wrestle with because everybody else is playing like football and team sports. And
they don't like wrestling. I love wrestling. It's a great sport.
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
It is a great sport. There's no doubt. And if you want to get your child in shape, there's two sports, I think. One of them is swimming and the other one is wrestling.
George Carlin said, swimming's not a sport. Swimming is a way to keep from drowning.
Tell that to Michael Phelps.
Wrestling's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And you get your kid in shape, but his brain gets in shape
too.
Your
brain gets in shape,
I told the kids Monday, we had like a 7 a.m. practice, which was nice for me. And I said, when there's a head coach, and I'm actually silent, if you can imagine. And then there's an assistant coach, Alex. Coach Dan's the head coach. And I'm like, I realize where I can pick my spots.
Yeah.
And I would just go up to each guy and just go, hey, when you walk around today, every kid you see, you're better than him.
Yeah.
Grocery store, gas station, if you go to church, if you go to, you're better than any guy you see tomorrow at school walking the hallways. You are actually better than them
because
you did all this work.
Yeah.
And you can never explain it. You never hear two wrestlers going, like, you wrestled 185, I wrestled 135, 142. And you never see two wrestlers like, remember that match where we were. Because you can't explain it.
No.
You always see like football, baseball, basketball guys like, then there's that game.
Yeah,
Christmas tournament. And he threw an alley-oop. You never hear two wrestlers talking about
nothing. You never do. Yeah.
You can't.
Did you ever have a guy that beat you a couple times and it was kind of like your nemesis and that you were like, God, if I could just beat this one guy. Like I had one guy when I wrestled.
Enzo Cotullo. I never got out of the first period.
Yeah. And you were like, nope, today I'm going to take him down. I'm going to win. And you're done in the first period.
I wanted to get past a minute 30.
Yeah.
He went to Penn State on a full ride.
He did. Enzo Cotullo.
Yeah, the Cotullo brothers. It's very Jersey. Yeah. The Cotullo brothers are coming through.
And
we're
would
wrestling
you just
Immaculate Catholic.
So how many times did you wrestle him?
Three.
And you lost three.
53 seconds, a minute 31. Like, hey, I'm onto something here. And then I think 40 seconds.
40 seconds.
He was just a muscle-bound like guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in high school.
But the longest you went with him, were you like kind of thinking to yourself, Jesus, I'm still on the mat. I'm still here.
I was thinking, can't breathe. My arm's going to come out of the socket. Oh, fuck. You know what? I'll just lay here then.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
Yeah. But at least you got, like, I had one guy, Donahue, last name Donahue. I just wrestled him three times.
Was it Phil?
And my dad came. No, it wasn't. I wish. My dad came one time, and he goes, you got that Donahue guy today? And I go, yeah. And he goes, you going to beat him? I go, I don't know. And I made it through the first period. I remember thinking, like, I can't believe I made it through the first period. And I'm like, I'm still here. This guy hasn't pinned me yet. And I was just fighting for my life, trying not to get pinned. Then the second period, he pinned me. But
it's too late to be scared. It's time to kill. Yeah. I'll be in the other room. Come out when you're ready.
But it is funny how those guys, you never forget those guys, man. They
Donahue.
Yeah, the Donahue guy. You're like, God, that guy. To get pinned is one of the most humiliating things that
anyone... Did you ever pin yourself on purpose?
No.
Probably six times. Absolutely.
Oh, you accidentally pinned yourself?
Oh, no. Like, I'm fucking out of here. I am going to get killed.
Oh, you just want to be out of there.
Or like when he's got his arm under your shoulder blade and the ref can't pin you because of his fucking error and you can't breathe and his balls and cock are in your face. You're like, you know what? What? Let me just
slide a little bit
to my left and we're done.
Let's go get a drink.
Let's go a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Let's go a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And cocktails. Yeah. And cock.
So you pinned yourself. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're in some fucking cradle and you can't breathe. Yeah. Your ribs are cracking. You're like, this is how people die.
And I remember like being in Wisconsin, sometimes we'd have to go to these.
Oh, you're from Wisconsin? No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like 30 below zero and I'd have a wrestling meet like on a Wednesday night, you know, and I'd be like driving to this like farm and they'd be in like... like a barn somewhere, you know, or something. Yeah, I swear to God, these wrestling matches.
AWA wrestling?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Harley Rhodes would come out.
Right. And you'd be like, oh, God, I can't, there's nobody here. And then all of a sudden this farm boy would come out. He'd be huge. He'd be baling hay, you know. He'd pin me in like 10 minutes,
that
10
is
seconds.
What it is. Like Booton, New Jersey was like the sticks. And, it, you know, it's like 7 a.m. weigh-ins. So you got to leave your school at 4:30 a.m.
And then so brutal.
Your parents are behind the bus somewhere in a car smoking cigarettes in a heated air station wagon.
Waiting for the meet to start.
And you get pinned in a minute, but nobody can leave until the last guy's done. So your heavyweight's like a state champion. You're like, fuck. Maybe I should fucking Tonya Harding.
Oh, my God. And the ride home, you're like, oh, that was fun. That was great.
Thanks, son. You know, I used to sleep till 8.
Thanks, son.
Night falls on history. You guys should enjoy it. And my friend Kevin Farley said if he was not a stand-up comic, Levity Live, November 29th, Wednesday night, Warriors, fill that room for my man. He'd probably be doing something like this. It's a great scripted drama series, Nightfall. Great themes in this show from what I got. You know, by the way, it's all about like controlling the grail, control the world. You know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, control the grail, control the world.
Love it.
Tom Cullen, I think is the guy's name. He's from Downton Abbey, which, by the way, until like a year ago, I thought was Downtown Abbey. Somebody said to me, Downton. I'm like, Downton. Why are they talking like this? I was on a date. She's like, you know, Downton Abbey? I'm like, no. Keep going. Downton Abbey? Downtown I'm like, does she have a speech impediment? She's like, Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey?
But that
are you
was
going
right.
Downtown?
I was the idiot. I know. Tom Cullen from Downton Abbey is on this show, and it's really cool. If, season one is 10 episodes, so you can just plow through them, and it's one of those shows, night with a K, Nightfall, that once you get after the first episode, you're like, oh, gosh, what's next, next, next? So on history, my friends, you're going to want to watch Nightfall. And I put my name on it. It's a really good show. It's cool. And the last thing I want to do is promote some other person's show if I want my own show. Mm. But I can't not promote it. It's great. Nightfall. K-N-I-G-H-T-F-A-L-L on history.
Nightfall.
Starring Tom Cullen from Downton.
It's also a good drink, Tom Collins.
It is. Tom Cullen, though, is the name.
Oh, never mind then.
When I was my sisters, I had two really older sisters, and you're just like 95 kids in your family. Who's the oldest?
Barbara. Barbara, then Tom.
I never got along with Barbara.
Yeah.
Tom was the guy we spoke about a year and a half ago.
He
was the outlier.
He's in Madison.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Who's the oldest from you?
Well, my sister's Barbara's the oldest.
I mean, how many years older than you is she?
She's probably 5 years older.
So she'd have friends come over and it was like a different universe.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was the only girl, too.
There's like actual boobs. Seriously, I have two older sisters. They're like 7 and 6 years older than me, and their friends would like Patty Bevilacqua would come over. I'd be like, "Oh man, I feel funny. I feel really funny.
What's going on there?"
Yeah, and like you'd listen to music you never listened to. You'd listen to albums and like comedy stuff you never listened.
Yeah.
So my sister brought this girl home. It's tied into Downton Abbey because I said speech impediment, and it was Thanksgiving. It was really weird. Like this girl's at her house for Thanksgiving. It's just some like 16-year-old girl, and I was 9. And then she goes, "Please pass the turkey." And then my sister Julie, who's like a razor's edge, she goes, "Hey, do you have a speech impediment, or is that the way they talk down there?"
No.
And the girl looks up, like single tier Broadway spotlight.
Oh my
she goes,
"God,
speech impediment."
Oh.
And she said it like a rope. Speech impediment.
This is where my dad would be like, "Oh, that's shut up." My dad would label somebody, "You bully."
Is that
that's
the way they
ridiculous?
Talk?
My dad would freak out.
Speed, would he?
Oh, he'd get mad. He didn't like anybody like being rude or being. You had
she
to
just have. I mean, yeah. But the girl's response, I put in my notes on my iPad like a month ago, like, oh my God,
speech impediment.
And we're like, just.
Good Lord. Did your sisters get treated better than you guys? Do you have any? Like,
no,
my sister had her own section of the house, you know, like, because
she's the only girl.
Yeah. And so, like, we would go in there. Like, one time I went in there and she had a record player, she had records. You know, and I said to Chris, I go, "Hey, Barb's got a record player."
Really?
And Chris goes, "What? How did she get a record player?" So we go to my dad and we're like, hey, you know, Barb's got a record player. And my dad's like, yeah. So? Yeah, I gave it to her. He's like, well, can we have a record player? He goes, no. You'd wreck it. And Chris goes, no, I wouldn't. Yeah, I would.
Oh, that's
he
him.
He would have. That is he so would have. And I go, well, truth is, we'd probably wreck it. And we would have.
Yeah, you'd fucking hit it on your bike. Indoors. Yeah. You'd clip it like
we
a
would never be able to have a record player.
What records do you remember? Because I know you remember
Carpenters.
Yeah,
she had a lot of Carpenters stuff. She had a lot of Carpenters. She had a lot of Barry Manilow.
Me too.
Mandy. And she had a lot of, yeah, my sister had a lot of that. And,
I never got into the Carpenters, but I remember like Donna Summer was a big one.
Oh, yeah, she had that.
Barry Manilow was just great.
Huge, huge. She had,
it's
he had
not,
a hit
it's not gay. Listen, Copacabana. It's all about chicks. Come
that's
on.
Right.
I love know Barry what you're Manilow. Talking about, man.
I love Barry Manilow.
Oh, Supertramp was a big one in my
head. Oh, Supertramp.
Yeah. Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one.
That was a huge album. Huge album.
Breakfast in America.
Yeah.
And then they're gone.
Yeah.
They're just gone.
No, yeah.
They died at Fredericksburg in the Battle of 100 Square Yards.
I didn't know Supertramp fought in Fredericksburg.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
The only guy that lived was Leo Sayer.
Leo Sayer. What was his hit? I forget Leo Sayer.
You make me feel like dancing.
I want to dance the night away.
You make me feel like dancing.
Oh, that was another one. Whoa, whoa,
is that, I think that's a theme from Chili's, though, what you're doing right now. No, what is it? I honestly don't know it. I'm not very.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that.
Yay.
Mick Jagger doing Emotional Rescue, and we're like, what a hack. And then you go, oh, maybe. Like, I come to you. I come to you. And the you. Boop, boop.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Maybe he was onto something. He wanted to sound like a white guy with an afro.
I'm on Emotional Rescue.
Let's play Emotional Rescue right here. Listen to that fucking bass and that damn Charlie Watt. Boom. Yeah, it's playing
right now.
Kevin Farley. I'm Kevin Farley on Twitter. KevinFarley.com is a really cool site. I dug it. I did a little research. I read your file.
Thank you, sir.
And go see him at Levity Live, and all of his dates are at KevinFarley.com.
Yes.
I wanted to just talk to you, buddy. I love it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you having me. Yeah.
Big interview today.
Thank you for playing more stories, Fancy.
Thank you.
Kevin Farley, friends. This is
one of the
great comics that you can see live. Go do it. Put your name on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the team, Loveline, man. You guys remember us from back in the day? Well, we're doing a pod, and we're doing it every day.
And we've been doing it for a while, and if I hear one more time people say, God, I loved you and Adam together on Loveline, and I'm like, yeah, we're doing a podcast. Will you please just join us at the Adam and Dr. Drew Show, please?
Right.
AdamandDrewShow.com. It's a great show. Come on now. Only on Podcast One. That's us, Adam and Dr. Drew Show, just like the old days.
Doctor's orders.
Oh, man, you're funny.
Yep. All right. Let's go save some babies.
Let's do it.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.